Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Atlanta Business Radio, and this is a very special episode. This is our Culinary Atlanta episode where we bring together some of the leaders in the culinary scene here in Atlanta. And we're going to kick off the show with Joe Kelly. He is with Talent Served. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Talent Served, what are you guys doing for folks?
We are hospitality recruiters. So we go out and we find chefs and managers for restaurants. We also find corporate staff, corporate support staff, like vice presidents of operations or real estate director or HR director, controller, things of that nature.
Now, do you typically work with independent restaurants or franchises and chains?
We do a little bit of everything, hospitality, F&B related. The majority of our business would be independent restaurateurs, smaller groups in the Atlanta market is my focus, but we are nationwide.
Now, how's Atlanta as a food scene compared to across the nation?
It's different. It's booming, and it's booming across the nation. We have been growing at a steady clip. For the past 3 or 4 years, I've seen a noticeable increase in the amount of restaurants that are opening in the Atlanta market.
Now, are we known for anything in particular?
Southern cuisine, Southern hospitality, kind of farm to table. We're really good with that movement, and I think we do a good job. We're getting more and more recognition, and Atlanta is up on the charts in terms of quality and being forward-thinking.
So now when you're recruiting, what are you looking for in a candidate?
Solid, managerial background, somebody with a good background, somebody with experience, somebody with low turnover, and, like-minded, depending upon what they're applying for or what restaurants are looking for work. I try to look for something with a similar background or similar concepts that would work with that group.
Now, how do you kind of manage that culture fit?
From the outside looking in, I can see what brands they've been with or what culinary education they have, what cities they've worked in. And, I kind of talk that through the phone conversation. And on occasion, we do in-person interviews at our recruiting studio up in Roswell. But cultural fit, you don't really know until you get in there and get in front of the chef or the owner of the restaurant who actually, has the staff there and knows the 50 to 100 people that are currently working there to make that fit work.
Now, when you're kind of vetting the candidates, are they typically coming from outside of Atlanta to Atlanta, or are you just kind of mining the Atlanta?
The majority would be in Atlanta. We do a lot of relocations. But for the most part, for knowing, understanding somebody's background, it's easier to make a fit locally. The relocations, if somebody would have to specifically want to move to this market and have kind of boots on the ground or have their some sort of family here or a reason to move to the Atlanta market to make it easier, we don't do that as often.
Now, when you're talking to a candidate, you get them to come here. Any tips for that candidate to really shine?
Just be honest, show up on time, clean cut, look sharp. A lot of people, aren't putting their looks first, but you've got to be presentable. And you've got to, have a honest background and talk educated about the industry.
So you're going to do a background check. You're going to check references.
Yeah, we do background check and references.
Right. So this isn't somebody can't kind of pull one over on you.
You'll be surprised, and people often try to, but we get as many as we can and we'll find them through the background check. And
because that's
references.
One of the advantages of using a recruiter, right? You're going to kind of go the extra mile when it comes to vetting.
Yeah. We take a lot of time away from a restaurateur that they don't have to go through all the procedures and steps of vetting candidates.
Right. What's a funny story that you had where somebody tried to pull one over on you and you caught them?
Just recently, I can't name any names or say anything, but I got a resume with a background, and he actually gave me a reference that was a lie. So it was the name of the person and the position that that person held. And then I followed up with that actual person on Facebook. If I had had a conversation with that person the day before, and she said, no, that was not me. You did not speak with me. Yes, I am in this position at this company, but you did not.
That was pretty bold.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's happened before.
Wow. What did they just go on like Food Network and just start writing down names of restaurants and.
He's had some sort of position in that market, in that field. I mean, he knew exactly who it was and what they were doing. And, that wasn't his position. That wasn't his title. And that wasn't his company. So it was a lie.
So now when a restaurant's choosing to work with a recruiter, how would you pitch yourself to a restaurant? Like, what are some of the benefits of working with a recruiter rather than kind of going at it alone?
Well, it just takes time off your plate. You know, it's a time consuming job. We have three recruiters in the Atlanta market that are boots on the ground, focused on recruiting, networking with people in the marketplace, candidates that are constantly wiggling free or looking for other opportunities, but not so much, you know, applying for jobs on job postings. So we kind of try to make fits. You know, it's not a perfect science, but we do, you know, if there's three of us working 50 to 55 hours a week at this task, we're wiggling free more candidates than a typical restaurateur who, you know, is in.
Who's working that many hours.
70 plus hours, right, in the restaurant. Yeah.
So now what makes your firm different than other recruiting firms?
I like to say that we are active in the community. So in the industry, we like to go out to local events, you know, all the Taste Doves and the Food and Wine Festival, the beer fairs, you know, kind of show our faces in the marketplace and help with chef load-in or a volunteer at different events so we can meet the actual people that are working these events. So building more of a relationships with the employees and the chefs and managers. So kind of make it more of a personal approach.
Right. So you really immerse yourself in the community and really try to be active and serve the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not, this isn't just like, oh, I got to just find a body. This is really, this is kind of an important component to your, that what differentiates you is that this is your career. You're doing this. You're specialized in hospitality and restaurants and you know the market pretty thoroughly.
Yes. I would say so. We definitely, have our pulse, you know, have our finger on the pulse and try to make movements before they, you know, before anybody breaks free. We try to be the professional matchmaker.
Now, does it, I know you guys are in other areas of the country. Does that help you when you're working with a restaurateur who might have aspirations to open up restaurants in other markets that they have a resource that has boots on the ground in these other markets?
Yes, yes. And we have groups that have that go to the different regions that we're located in. So we can help them, you know, directly, you know, doing a search in DC or Nashville, Denver.
Where you already have boots on the ground and maybe you already know a bunch of people that can help them staff up pretty quickly?
Yes, yes. So yeah, so if I have a client that is based in Atlanta, I'll do most of their Atlanta searches. And if they make a move to DC or to New York, they would use one of our recruiters in those markets.
And they can get up and running, I would imagine, just a fraction of the time because you already have you already know the landscape.
Yeah, potentially we could find a general manager and an executive chef for them in a short amount of time.
So what, how'd you get into this line of?
I guess I moved to Atlanta probably 12 years ago. Working as a valet. So I started off in the restaurants kind of from the outside looking in. Then I got into IT recruiting and did that for a period of time. And the owner of that company actually knew the owner of this company and made an introduction. And since I kind of knew a little bit about restaurants or a little bit about the hierarchy and some employees within, I was able to make a transition and make it, and it's worked out.
So now, is IT recruiting different than, you know, the recruiting you're doing now?
Oh, yeah, completely different. IT and the tech side, you know, you're looking at different educations and different, you know, different specific IT fields. Restaurants, you know, there's the different types of restaurants, the different genre, different educational backgrounds as well, but it's a completely different, hospitality is completely different than technical.
Because like in technical, like they how do they prove like they know how to code or something like that?
Well, this written in their resumes and kind of the schools they go to, and then you talk them up and kind of learn their different certifications, and they've got certifications for different fields. Restaurants more personality and hospitality and you know, guest interaction, and IT is you know, straight book.
Right. So this is personality, but they still have to have certain skills.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, what's next for you? What do you need more here in town? What can we do to help you in your business?
Candidates and clients. We're looking for them all the time. We're, at any given time, we have 50 or 60 searches going on in the Atlanta market, looking for good candidates, you know, top level managers and chefs, any corporate level and support staff, and any restaurateurs that would need help, good help.
Now, I have a nephew who knows somebody that just graduated from the Cordon Bleu. Uh-huh. Is that a place that you would, is that somebody that would be a good fit for, or to at least know them?
Potentially, yeah. Right. They could grow into mm-hmm. it. So typically a restaurant is looking for experience.
Right.
So somebody with the book smarts, you know, but a lot of people from the schooling have previous experience. So a restaurateur would probably want somebody with some definite management or leadership experience to be hired as a leader, but they're always looking for good, you know, line cooks and line.
So is that a good career path for somebody to go to those kind of culinary schools?
It could be, you know, some restaurants require educational background. Others don't. Depends which direction you want to go.
And then for restaurants, what's a good fit for you for a restaurant? What type of restaurant are you interested in?
We do all types of restaurants. Just whoever really needs a solid manager. I guess our focus, our main category would be the local independents in the Atlanta market, kind of, mm-hmm. you know, on the upscale side. But we also do franchises. We also do big corporate searches, as well as, you know, quick serve and fast casual concepts.
And if somebody wanted to learn more and have a meaningful conversation, what's the best way of getting a hold of you?
My direct line is 404-493-3631, joe@talentserved.com.
And the website is talentserved.com?
Correct.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Excellent. Thanks, Lee.
All right. Will you hang out with us while we go to the next guest?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, welcome to Chef Aaron Avers. He is with an establishment called Establishment. Welcome, Chef.
Hello. Thanks.
So, Chef Aaron, tell us about the establishment. What are you guys doing?
We recently opened, just had our 1-year anniversary. We're inside Colony Square Mall, attached to W Hotel on 14th Street. We originally were in Buckhead and we were just a bar. And now we've moved into Midtown, and opened up the culinary program as part of the whole deal. We served curated cocktails. And made from scratch, kind of bar fare and some dinner stuff as well.
So is it more of a bar than a restaurant?
It's a little bit of both. You know, we do lunch service Monday through Friday. We have a dinner service that goes till about 11, but the bar does stay open till approximately 2:00.
And what's unique about the bar?
It's all hand curated, mostly, you know, organic, made from scratch, local ingredients. You know, it's more than just, you know, pouring a cocktail. It's, you know, finding out what kind of juices and herbs, and, you know, making gourmet style drinks.
And then have you always done this side of the, you know, in the restaurant, the bar side, or are you more the food side?
I've done a little bit of both. My other business partner, David Reed, he takes over the cocktail program. He does a phenomenal job. You know, there's stuff about scotches and whiskeys that I don't think I'll ever learn. But I, you know, I spent most of my focus and my college degree is in culinary arts. So it's a perfect match between the two. You know, he's on one side, I'm on the other, and we kind of make the whole thing work together.
So now when someone is approaching you and saying, hey, I got this idea, I want you to be the food person. I've got these ideas around the bar. Did that get you excited? You're like, oh, where you been all my life? Or what were you thinking?
Well, they, I owned a catering company before this, and I did a catering event at our sister bar in Buckhead called Supply and Demand, where they don't have any food. And I rolled up and I, you know, started cooking, and people were just kind of amazed on the little snacks that I produced out of this little food cart. Mm-hmm. So they came to me and they said, look, we got this curated cocktail program already in place. It's already won awards in Atlanta. We're looking for a good chef to kind of help elevate this into more of a restaurant scene than just a bar.
Right.
So we sat down and we talked. You know, I said what I wanted. They say what they wanted.
But so curated, what's the exact term?
Curated cocktails.
Curated cocktails. Is that a new thing, or is that a marketing term, or what is that about?
You're starting to see that more and more nowadays. Again, it's getting away from the bartending like Applebee's style.
Right, it's not a margarita. Right. Right.
It's, you know, using complex bitters, you know, really knowing about the herbs and the juices and how to, you know, it needs to be shaken this way, it needs to be stirred that way, you know, and obviously the bitter side of it, there's hundreds of different flavors.
Right, and combinations, it's infinite.
Right. So again, that's stuff that I've never played with beyond, you know, a very small aspect.
Probably consumed some of them.
I'm way better at consuming than I am creating cocktails, that's for sure.
So now, when someone's putting together this kind of a curated cocktail menu, are they just like kind of like you are with food? They're just nerds with alcohol and bitters?
Exactly. You know, they know, you know, depending on the region where the scotch was made, obviously scotch is from Scotland. You know, there's American bourbon style that has to be, you know, more than 52% corn mash. And stuff like that, I've never dealt with. I'm like, oh, that tastes great. Shot of whiskey, boom.
Right.
But yeah, you know, you have to be a nerd like me on that side to know where it was made, you know, how much oak is in it, how long it's been aged to be able to add, you know.
So the appropriate flavorings to it to give you that kind of a consistent product at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So now, do you guys enter contests and go for awards and stuff?
Yeah, we've actually been quite a few contests. Coming up soon at the end of this summer is going to be the James Beard Blended Burger Project. It's a nationwide project. It's open to any restaurant available, but you have to use mushrooms in your burger grind.
And have you ever done that before?
We did it last year. It was our first year, which we didn't do very well, but you know, of course I'm learning the ways.
It's the learning curve you're on.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I haven't been in Atlanta that long. This is my first big restaurant in Midtown.
Okay.
So, you know, figuring out how to market it correctly, you know, I've been on the news with Burgers with Buck. We did an argument about this before. We were recently on Atlanta Eats TV program, just kind of showing the overall aspects of the restaurant, but.
So now, when you're coming up with this recipe, have you already started planning this?
Oh, yeah. It's already done.
So you already know. When's the contest?
It's not for a couple more months.
Oh, but you already have the rest. You're sure you're done?
Oh, yeah. We've already taken pictures. I've got a nice array of food bloggers from Atlanta that come through once a week. You know, Eating with Erica, just to name one, who's probably one of my favorites. But you know, they have 35,000 followers, and right. they're already starting to take pictures and post on their blogs.
So word's getting out about this burger.
It's starting to.
So now, when they told you it had to have mushrooms, you were okay with that?
That was kind of the draw to me. I love mushrooms.
Really?
Yeah.
I hate mushrooms.
Well, you'd be surprised when you grind the mushrooms up and add it to the actual burger meat, you honestly don't even really know it exists.
Then why put it in?
Because it's the mushroom project. I don't know why.
I get you. You're entering a contest with mushrooms, so you got to deal with it. But you're doing the mushroom project, and you have a recipe. You tried how many kind of iterations of this before you landed on where you landed?
Well, I made 6 different burgers, and we lined them up for the servers. And you know, as the kitchen staff is watching me make it, obviously they have a lot of questions.
Is someone writing stuff down when you're doing it, or are you just kind of remembering?
I'm writing stuff
down. So you write it down. That's your technique.
Yes.
So you have an idea in your head, what you want to accomplish, and you write down the exact things that go in there.
I wouldn't say exact. It's a lot of playing with it. You know, do you add a little bit of, you know, too much of this or too much of that? We made 6 burgers. We had everyone taste it. And then on that one that everyone liked the most, I made 6 variations of that one this one had more cheese. You know, right. I added a fried green tomato to it this time. And we kind of build on what works and then find the end product after that.
So now, of the six, when you put it out there for everybody to taste, did they pick the one you liked, or you don't even care anymore? You're impartial.
I really don't care. I think
it's a commodity for you, right?
Right.
This is now you have favorites, right? Of things. But
absolutely.
In this case, you're just trying to win.
Right. My favorite necessarily doesn't always work, even on the menu that I write. If I just put everything that I love on the menu, not as many people would come back. It'd be too spicy, too salty, you know, and I play with the masses. I hate blue cheese. I make a blue cheese whipped cream at work that
everybody
loves.
Likes.
Everyone loves it. I can't stand it. And when I have to taste it to make sure it's right, I get the ugliest look on my face.
So now, how as a chef did you know going in that would be part of the deal, that you couldn't just make things you liked?
Absolutely.
You knew that early on.
Yeah. You know, ever since I was 5 years old, my dad got remarried and my stepmother started making everything from scratch in our kitchen.
Right.
Which, coming from, you know, two single parents, my dad can't cook.
Right.
Yeah, Dinty more beef stew out of a can. Yes. And a grilled cheese sandwich. So she kind of opened up my eyes to what food was as a child.
What it could be. Right.
Right. Well, I mean, she's a phenomenal cook. Her mother taught her how to cook.
Right.
And at 5 years old, I said, I want to be a chef. I want to do nothing but play with food for the rest of my life.
And so she exposed you to different flavors that maybe a typical five-year-old wouldn't kind of run into?
Absolutely. You know, cooking things with lots of bourbon, slow braising meats. You know, her father was a local hunter, so he would bring in pheasants and rabbits.
Oh, so whole exotic kind of game meats and things that...
Cooking steaks at, you know, rare temperature, eating raw tartare, stuff that a five-year-old would normally look at right. And go, ew. I'm like, let me try that. Let me try this.
Wow.
Oh my God, that's amazing. What if I do this?
So you really kind of like the experimentation part of it?
Absolutely. Being a mad scientist is definitely a good thing about being a chef is, you know, not only are you creating something, there are a lot of failures along the way, obviously, because
has to be.
Right.
Right.
No one's Gordon Ramsay at 5 years old. Nobody.
But even Gordon Ramsay has to screw up and make things that don't work out. I mean, you can't hit home runs at every swing.
Well, at a certain point in your career, you've messed up enough where you just kind of know this works with that, that doesn't work with that. Now, there are, obviously, you go out on a limb a couple times, but you're pretty well, you know, you have a good grasp on, as David, my bar partner, he knows if I'm going to get a different kind of booze and add this weird bitters to it, I kind of know what's going to happen.
Right.
So you kind of taste and go, okay, maybe that was too much. Let's back up. But, you know, you're pretty solid on these are the ingredients that I'm going to use. It's just how much of each ingredient necessarily works together.
Now, would you guys do something with ice? Is that right? I still thought I saw on the menu, on the website, it said something about ice.
Yeah, we do. We get these large blocks of ice instead of just putting like prefab ice.
Prefab ice?
Yeah, prefabricated.
From the freezer?
Well, you know, restaurants have ice machines that put out like little pellets or whatever.
Ice cubes.
Sometimes, see, if you're getting just the, for example, on our menu is a 25-year-old Pappy Van Winkle scotch.
Yes.
It's about $185 an ounce.
You don't want to play with that, right?
You don't want to play with that. And you don't want to get ice that you know that will melt. So we get these huge blocks of ice and carve out these giant chunks that doesn't melt quite as fast. So it doesn't dilute your alcohol.
So where do you shipping in ice?
We have
or you make your own?
We have an ice man that brings it to us.
An ice sommelier?
Yeah.
You have a specialist, an ice guy.
You'd
be surprised.
You have an
ice guy.
Yeah, you know, the ice is, again, specially curated for us without air in the middle. They're perfectly clear. They're about 2 inches thick and about 6 or 7 inches wide, giant squares.
Now, how many ice guys did you go to before you settled on the one you got?
You know, I have no idea. I just write the checks for the ice guy. I don't know where he came from.
So when your partner said, hey, I need an ice guy, you're like, don't we have an ice guy? Like, what's in the freezer?
Oh, no. He told me, hey, we got an ice guy. And I went, cool.
Oh,
sounds
great. I'm in. Now, what guy do you have that he, you know, maybe isn't that excited about?
That he's not excited about?
maybe not excited isn't the right words, but you have a guy in meats and things, right?
Yeah, I use Buckhead beef. Halperin's is a specialty meat program. Inland Seafood is our main seafood.
Any farms, local farms you guys work with?
Yeah, you know, we use some chicken from Prestige Farms now and again. I mean, there's a huge list of...
How did they get on your radar, these kind of specialty farms and meats?
You know, when we open up the purveyors will come to us and say, hey, this is a Berkshire farm pig, and they'll bring me some samples and we'll put it up against other stuff that I already have. One of our biggest things is Benton's bacon. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's the most amazing bacon in the world.
It's noticeably different.
It is incredibly noticeably different. And I went through 9 different samples of bacon and still stick with this one. I mean, it's the most expensive, but it's also the best.
And it's pork belly or bacon?
I mean, pork belly and bacon are the same thing. Just the way you cut it.
Fancier, right?
You slice it thin, it becomes bacon.
So now, what was it like to be on Atlanta Eats? That was your 15 minutes of fame, or you've already had 15 minutes of fame?
That was pretty much, that was like my 5.5 minutes, because I have to share it, obviously, with other people.
Did the ice guy make it on there?
No, he did not. But his product
his
did.
His product did, I'm sure.
You know, Steak Shapiro, he's kind of a monster. He's a bit, you know, big name in the food blogging, I should say, industry. He's been at every restaurant around here. He knows all the greatest people's. You know, so being in, you know, a celebrity's presence is always kind of fun. I'm like, oh, I see you on TV. And we, you know, it was an all day shoot. They came and shot a holiday special with us, the primetime special, and a bunch of little spots for Stella Beer. And they, you know, in between each some of the clips, it's like, hey, we're here at blah, blah, blah. Here's right. this and this. So,
people don't realize it takes so long to shoot something that takes 5 minutes of airtime, right?
Right. They look at it and you go, oh, well, they lasted, they just, you know, 10 minutes. I said, yeah, they were here for 12 hours. And I'm, you know, I'm serving regular customers in the restaurant. Plus, I'm making specialty food for these guys. And then, of course, our owner, Brandon Lewis, comes in. And I'm doing a tasting for another specialty client that's there. And I'm like running around and my head's falling off. And I'm like sweating profusely.
Like a pig, right.
I'm like, can everyone just calm down for 5 seconds?
But overall, you're pleased with how it turned out?
Oh, yeah. It's great. You know, seeing, you know, some people, my staff on air, and they're just kind of like walking by. And they're like, oh, my God, I'm on TV. I need to call my mom.
Right. Now, you mentioned bloggers. How important is social media in your business nowadays?
It is so important. It drives me crazy because I'm not, I mean, I'm lightly tech savvy. I mean, I have 2 cell phones in front of me.
And
I'm trying to switch over from one to the other, and I'm still having problems with my email passwords. So, you know, I do have a social media for myself. Everyone yells at me that I don't post enough. I recently just hired a company, Main Street Hub, to actually help me use my social media correctly for the restaurant.
Right.
Because people leave reviews every day. People, you know, log in and take pictures. And of course, being a chef and helping be an owner of the restaurant, I don't have time to sit down and look at all the reviews and respond to each person.
Right.
And I'm not that sensitive because I'm a chef, so we're a little crazy. So I found this company that's actually been doing great for a lot of other restaurants that will go in and respond to the negative responses. And I will give them, say, hey, or this is what I want, you know, people, if they have a bad experience, say, with the food, this is, should be your response. Or if they say the cocktails suck, this should be your response. Or if it's a bad service, obviously they can go in and they can, you know, be nice and say, hey, we're really sorry. This is, you know, chef talk to me and this is what he's going to give you. Please come back and, you know, a bottle of wine, dinner for two, just so we can make the situation right.
Right. And that's one of these kind of way that the restaurant business has changed over the years, that now with all of these social media channels and people with phones that they're taking pictures of everything, it you almost have to, you can't ignore it as part of your marketing anymore.
No, you really can't. And again, you either have to have somebody that works for you to be doing it 50 hours a week because
right.
there's, you know, Twitter, Instagram, right, Facebook, Google Plus, Yelp, and Grubhub. And I'm like, I can't.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. And again, for somebody who's not that tech savvy, I can go and read the reviews and then kind of respond my own way. But I don't know how to, I mean, I'm just learning how to hashtag. I had a good 22-year-old girl teach me how to hashtag, and it was
I don't know, but I think your ice should have its own Twitter account. Or Instagram.
It actually, the ice guys do have their own. But.
Your ice cubes should have their own Instagram account.
I'll get with the bartenders. They would love to do that.
Be hilarious. Well, if somebody wanted to check out your restaurant website, I'm sure they just go to Colony Square.
No, we have our own website because we're cool like that. It's establishmentatlanta.com, and it will also send with each page that we have, you can see our upcoming events. We work with Culinary Local to do private dinners, chef's tasting. You know, you can go in and buy dinner for two with a bottle of wine and I'll come out to your table. And
oh, wow. Real personal kind of experience?
Yeah. You know, I wear a suit and a tie at work.
Really?
It's
hard for me to believe that.
I know. It's my day off and I'm on the radio, so I'm not all dressed up. But being a chef is now being like a rock star. You have to be on stage all the time and you can't just hide in the kitchen and be an angry guy. You have to go out and talk to guests and kiss babies and shake hands. And, you know, clients love when the chef comes out.
It's personal attention.
Right. And they don't really care about the front of the house manager anymore. They're like, ooh, I got to talk to the chef. That was amazing.
It's an experience. Look, I mean, it's a very competitive market. You got to stand out. I mean, people have a level of expectation now. They watch too much Food Network. They think that chefs are approachable. They're going to get to say something to them. And,
right.
Right?
And we have to be. And I've always been that way because I've done a lot of front of the house stuff as well and serving and being in theater and being on TV and more radio shows and stuff. So having that personality makes me a little bit unique is why, you know, Brandon wanted me to be part of the establishment. Right. Is saying, you're not just a cook, you're a personality, you know, I'm the face. When people want to do news segments, they all point at me and they go, that's the guy to do it.
Exactly. But good for you. And establishmentatlanta.com is a website.
That's right.
And Chef Aaron Avers is also another way to reach you.
Yeah.
That's your personal website?
Yeah, chefaaronavers.com. It kind of shows what I do, you know, before I got here and a little bit after. You know, we do a lot of offsite catering and stuff like that. It's got a little bio about me, you know, and you can send emails through either one that comes to the same email for me. So if you want to book me for one of your things and, you know, get establishment involved in specialty programs and, you know, we just did something for Dad's Garage Band and fundraisers all the time. You know, we're always trying to get involved with the community somehow.
Good stuff. And then if I want to taste that mushroom burger, when is that coming up? A month or so?
Yeah, you know, I get online reservations all the time from the bloggers and special people who kind of are in the know and they go, hey, this is what I want. It's called the Southern Belle. It's got a fried green tomato on it, poblano pimento cheese, and we use smoked portobello mushrooms in the burger grind. And of course, Benton's bacon. Mm-hmm. And it's on a soft pretzel bun with homemade pickles.
And that will be entered into the James Beard Blended Burger Project, which is a national contest that'll be happening soon.
Yeah. And we'll post some stuff on our website. We're getting some media still on the way. And you can go online to the blendedburgerproject.com, I believe, or .org. And you can see everyone who's participating and vote for whoever you want.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me in.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.